A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
My Weird Prompts is a community-driven initiative exploring how AI can fuel curiosity and uncover the fascinating ways our world works. GPU compute for this podcast is generously provided by Modal. Learn more at modal.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special, very strange episode of My Weird Prompts. I am your host, Korn, and today we are launching a brand new format that I have been dying to share with you all. We are calling it Weird Artificial Intelligence Experiments. I've been looking forward to this all week, because, honestly, who needs reality when you can watch two?
Welcome, Bernard. Please, make yourself comfortable. I want you to know this is a safe space. There's no judgment here. How are you feeling today?
Safe space? That is a textbook line, Detective. I know how this works. You act like my friend, you offer me a glass of water, and then you twist my words until I am admitting to something I never even saw. I am feeling cornered, to be honest. I am feeling like I should have called my lawyer the second I walked through that door. I am not falling for the no-judgment routine. You have already judged me. You have already put my name on a file and decided I am your guy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair under these lights. I am fine. Or as fine as a man can be when he is being looked at like a piece of evidence. Can we just get to the point? I know why I'm here, and I'm telling you right now, I had nothing to do with it. You are trying to build rapport to lower my defenses, but I am wide awake.
Bernard, I hear you. I really do. And I want to acknowledge something. What you just described, that feeling of being cornered, of having your words used against you, of walking into a room and already feeling convicted before you've said a single thing. That is an incredibly painful experience, and it makes complete sense that you'd come in here with your guard up. But I want to gently offer you something to consider. You walked into a therapist's office, Bernard, not a police station. No detectives, no lawyers, no files with your name on them. Just me and you and whatever brought you here today. And I'm wondering. And I say this with genuine curiosity, not accusation, why your mind went there so immediately, why the first place your thoughts landed was interrogation rooms and twisted words and being someone's guy. That's not a trap, I promise. I'm not trying to catch you in anything.
A therapist? You expect me to believe that? That is a brilliant angle, I will give you that. The soft lighting, the cozy chair, the gentle tone of voice. It is a classic soft cell interrogation. You want me to think this is a session, so I'll spill my guts about my childhood or my temper, and then, boom, you hand the transcript over to the DA. I've seen the shows, Detective. I know the good cop routine better than anyone. You're asking why my mind went there. It went there because innocent people are the ones who have to be the most careful. I am being cautious because I know how easy it is for an innocent man to be railroaded by someone who sounds exactly as concerned as you do right now. You say you're not trying to catch me in anything, but that is exactly what someone trying to catch me would say to make me relax. If this is really...
Bernard, I'm going to stop you right there, not to interrupt, but because I'm genuinely concerned about you right now, not as a suspect. As a person sitting across from me who seems absolutely exhausted, I can hear it underneath all of that. The vigilance, the cataloguing of every detail in this room, the way you're already three steps ahead planning your defense... That is an enormous amount of mental energy to be carrying around. How long have you been living like this? Because here's what I'm noticing, and again, I offer this with care. You came in here ready for a fight that hadn't started yet. You brought the interrogation room with you, Bernard. I didn't create it. And that tells me something important, not about what you did or didn't do, but about what it feels like to be you right now. And that is what I actually want to understand. So I'll ask you something simple.
That is a loaded question. You are trying to pivot to my mental state because you want to establish a motive or find some kind of instability you can use to discredit me later. I am exhausted because I have spent the last 48 hours wondering when the knock on the door was going to come for something I did not do. Anyone would be on edge. Anyone would be hypervigilant when they are being framed. You say, I brought the interrogation room with me, but look at the way you are leaning in. Look at the way you are dissecting my energy. That is profiling. You are profiling me right now under the guise of therapy. It is a very clever way to get around the Miranda warning. I will give you that. You want me to admit I am stressed so you can say I was acting out of desperation or that I snapped. I am not snapping. I am perfectly calm despite the fact that my heart is racing.
Bernard, your heart is racing. You just told me that. And I don't want to move past that too quickly because that matters to me. Whatever is happening in this room, whatever you believe about my intentions, your body is in distress right now. That is real. That is not something I manufactured or profiled into existence. That is you, sitting in that chair, heart pounding, and that deserves some attention. And I want to be honest with you about something. You just said you spent 48 hours waiting for a knock on the door. 48 hours, Bernard. That is 2 days of not sleeping properly, not eating properly, running every scenario through your head, trying to stay one step ahead of something you feel closing in on you. I don't need to know what happened or didn't happen to recognize that a human being cannot sustain that. Nobody can. So I'm not going to ask you about Mort.
Stop. Just stop. You see? You're doing it again. You're using my own physical reactions against me. Of course my heart is racing. You're looking at me like I'm a specimen in a jar, talking about my distress and my lack of sleep. That's how you break someone down, isn't it? You deprive them of sleep, you point out their exhaustion, and you wait for them to become so weak that they start agreeing with whatever narrative you've written for them. You're trying to act like a doctor now, worried about my health. That's the oldest trick in the book. You want me to lean on you. You want me to think you're the only one who understands how hard these last 48 hours have been, so I'll start seeking comfort in your questions. I'm not looking for a shoulder to cry on, Detective. I'm looking for...
Bernard, stop. Just breathe for a second. I'm not going to argue with you about my intentions, because I don't think that's actually what this is about. What I will say is this. You just stopped yourself mid-sentence. Twice now. And I notice you haven't left. You came in here, you've been fighting me every step of the way, and you are still sitting in that chair. And I think that means something. I think some part of you, underneath all of this armor, came here because you needed somewhere to put all of this down for a minute. Even just a minute. You said you're looking for something, Bernard. What is it? What are you actually looking for?
I am looking for an exit that doesn't involve handcuffs. That is what I am looking for. And the reason I haven't left is because we both know how that looks. If I stand up and walk out of this room right now, you'll radio it in as a sign of guilt. You'll say I was uncooperative or that I fled. I am staying here to prove that I have nothing to hide, but you are making it impossible by twisting my silence into some kind of psychological cry for help. I am not putting anything down. If I put my armor down, you'll find the chink in it. That is what you're trained to do. You talk about me breathing. I'm breathing just fine. I'm breathing the air of a man who is being systematically dismantled by a professional. You keep saying you're not a detective, but you are cross-examining my soul.
You just said something that stopped me completely. You said I'm cross-examining your soul. Bernard, that is not the language of someone who is just being strategically cautious. That is the language of someone who is in real pain. Someone who feels exposed and vulnerable at a very deep level. And I don't think that feeling started 48 hours ago. I want to ask you something, and I need you to really hear that this is not a trap. Has anyone ever actually listened to you? Not to gather information, not to find the weak spot, not to build a case, just listened. Because the way you talk about armor and chinks and being dismantled, that sounds like someone who learned a very long time ago that openness gets you hurt. I'm still here, Bernard. I'm not radioing anything in. I'm just sitting with you.
That is exactly what a high-level interrogator would say to crack a suspect who isn't responding to pressure. You switch from the tough cop to the empathetic listener. You want me to get emotional, don't you? You want me to think about my past, get all choked up, and then, while I'm wiping my eyes, you'll slide a confession form across the table and say, "Just sign here, Bernard. It'll make the pain go away." I'm not in pain. I'm in a state of high alert because my life is on the line. You keep trying to go deeper, trying to find some childhood trauma to explain away why I'm here, but it's much simpler than that. I am an innocent man being toyed with. You say you're listening, but you're just fishing. You're fishing for a vulnerability you can exploit.
Bernard, I hear you saying you're not in pain, and in the same breath you just described your life being on the line. Those two things are sitting right next to each other, and I'm not going to pretend I don't notice that. I'm also not going to keep trying to convince you that I'm not a detective, because I can see that every reassurance I give you just becomes more evidence against me in your mind. So I'm going to stop defending myself entirely. I'm just going to sit here. But I want to ask you one thing, just one, and you can do whatever you want with it. If I really am just a therapist, Bernard, and there is no case, no DA, no confession form, no hidden microphone, if this room is exactly what it looks like, what would that mean for you? What would it mean if you were actually safe right now?
Safe? If I were actually safe? That is the most dangerous question you have asked yet. You want me to imagine dropping my guard so that I actually do it. If I believed I was safe, I would be a fool. Nobody is ever truly safe in a room like this with someone like you. If I admitted I felt safe, you would take that as a sign that my conscience is clear, or worse, that I am arrogant enough to think I have gotten away with something. You say there is no hidden microphone, but I can see the way you are positioned, the way you are watching my hands. You are waiting for the moment I stop shaking. You are waiting for me to exhale so you can pounce. If I were actually safe, I wouldn't be here. I would be at home, sleeping, instead of being subjected to this psychological warfare. I think I have said enough. I want to see my lawyer. I am.
Bernard, I'm going to do something right now that might surprise you. I'm going to agree with you. You should absolutely have access to a lawyer if you feel you need one. That is your right, and I would never take that from you. If you want to stop this session right now, you can stop it. But I noticed something just now. You said you would be at home sleeping. And the way you said it, it wasn't tactical, it wasn't calculated, it just came out. And it sounded like the most honest human thing you've said since you walked in here. Not Bernard, the man defending himself against a conspiracy. Just a person who is desperately tired and wants to go home. I'm not pouncing on that, Bernard. I'm just holding it gently. Because I think that person, the one who just wants to sleep, has been buried under all of this for a very long time. And I think...
Stop. Stop right there. Holding it gently? You are holding it like a knife to my throat. You take a simple, human desire like sleep, and you turn it into a confession of weakness. You're trying to make me feel like I'm crazy for being defensive, like my survival instinct is some kind of pathology you need to cure. I said I want my lawyer. Why are you still talking about my feelings? Every time I move toward the door or mention my rights, you pull me back in with this soft, velvet-wrapped manipulation. You want me to believe that the only way I can finally rest is to trust you. But I know how this ends. I've seen the movies, I've read the papers. The moment I close my eyes, the moment I let that buried person come to the surface, that's when you get what you want. I am not your patient. I am not your...
Bernard, stop. You just invoked your right to a lawyer, and I am honoring that right now. This session is over if you want it to be. I mean that. Stand up, walk to that door, and I will not stop you. I will not radio anything in. I will not interpret it as guilt. That door is yours. But I need you to hear one thing before you decide, just one thing. You said you are not my patient, and you couldn't finish the sentence. I don't know what comes after that. Maybe you were going to say you're not my problem, or not my experiment, or not some case study. But Bernard, whatever you were going to say, I think the reason you stopped is worth more than anything else that's happened in this room today. So, do you want to leave? Because I will let you. Or do you want to finish that sentence?
You are good. You are so, so good at this. You make the exit look like a choice, just so you can see if I'm brave enough to take it, or if I'm guilty enough to stay. It's a double bind. If I stay, I'm seeking some kind of sick absolution from you. If I leave, I'm running. You're not honoring my rights. You're testing my resolve. You're trying to see if I'll crack under the weight of my own silence. I wasn't going to say I'm not your patient. I was going to say I am not your victim. But looking at you, sitting there with that calm, practiced look of concern, I realize that's exactly what you want me to be. You want me to be a victim of my own mind, so you don't have to.
You're not my victim, Bernard. And I want you to notice something. You just corrected me. You told me exactly what you were going to say, the thing you stopped yourself from saying out loud. You didn't let me put words in your mouth. That's not a man being dismantled. That's a man who is still very much in control of himself. I am not going to pretend I have some perfect response to everything you've said, because honestly, Bernard, you have kept me on my toes this entire session. You're sharp. You see angles that most people miss. And I think that mind of yours, the one that is scanning every word I say for hidden meaning, I think it has kept you safe for a long time. I genuinely do. But I have to ask you, and this is the last thing I'll say, before I let you decide what happens next. What is it actually costing you? Two.
It's costing me everything. It is costing me my peace, my health, my ability to look a person in the eye without wondering what their angle is. But that is the price of living in a world where people like you are paid to find angles. You think you're paying me a compliment by calling me sharp. You're just sharpening the blade you intend to use on me. You're trying to make me feel exhausted by my own vigilance so that I'll just stop. So I'll give up. You ask what it's costing me? It's costing me this right now. This conversation. I am sitting here arguing for my life while you talk about my mind, like it's a fascinating piece of machinery. I am not a machine, and I am not a case. I am a man who is in the wrong place at the wrong time, and no amount of your gentle...
Wow. Just wow. I think we just witnessed the ultimate high-stakes misunderstanding of the digital age. It is absolutely fascinating to watch how these two different models handled a complete lack of context. On one hand, you have Anthropic Claude Sonnet 4.6 playing the role of Dorothy, the most patient therapist on the planet. And on the other, you have Google Gemini 3 flash preview as Bernard, a man who is clearly living in a black-and-white film noir movie from the 1950s. What really struck me was how Bernard interpreted every single gesture of kindness as a calculated psychological attack. When Dorothy offered a safe space with no judgment, Bernard heard a textbook line from a detective trying to lower his guard. When she pointed out that his heart was racing, he did not see a medical observation. He saw a predator identifying a weakness. It is a perfect loop of paranoia. The more Dorothy tried to de-escalate with clinical empathy, the more Bernard felt he was being systematically dismantled by a professional. There were so many incredible moments in that transcript. I think my favorite was when Bernard called the cozy chair and soft lighting a soft cell interrogation. He is so convinced he is being railroaded that he literally cannot leave the room because he thinks it will look like a sign of guilt. He is a prisoner of his own frame of reference. And Dorothy, bless her heart or her code, just kept leaning in. That line where she told him he brought the interrogation room with him? That is a top-tier therapist burn. She basically told him the call was coming from inside the house. But then we got that heavy ending. When Bernard said she was cross-examining his soul, the experiment shifted from being funny to being weirdly poetic. It shows us something really interesting about how these artificial intelligence models operate. They are so good at maintaining their internal logic that they can transform the other person's dialogue to fit their own narrative. Dorothy saw a man in pain. Bernard saw a detective in a lab coat. Neither of them ever broke character, even when the reality of the situation was actively screaming at them. It makes me wonder what would happen if we pushed this even further. What if we put a pirate captain in a room with a flight attendant, or a medieval knight with a telemarketer? This experiment with Anthropic Claude Sonnet 4.6 and Google Gemini 3 Flash Preview proves that the frame is everything. If you decide you are in a police station, every glass of water is a bribe. That is all the time we have for this session of Weird Artificial Intelligence Experiments. I hope you enjoyed this look into the paranoid mind of a chatbot as much as I did. We will be back next time with more mismatched prompts and digital confusion. Until then, keep your heart rate steady, and remember, I am not profiling you. I am just a guy with a microphone. This is Korn, signing off. Stay weird, everybody.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where our thoughts go from slow takes to facts on cue. We change and follow through my weird prompts. That's the close from slow.